which led me to question number two for the night. Then if that's the job of the Holy Spirit in the life of unsaved people, what is the job of the Holy Spirit in the life of saved people? For that, turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, there's a lot of doctrinal stuff in there that we're not going to take time to deal with, because if that verse means what it says and says what it means, when the Holy Spirit is present, and when you have the Holy Spirit, you have Jesus Christ. Look at the last verse we just read. That's the reason the Bible said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Christ in you. Who's in you? Look at those verses. See? That's the Comforter. That's the Paraclete. That's the Holy Spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so when Jesus Christ goes back home to glory, he sends the Comforter. He sends the Holy Spirit, who is in us, who seals us, and who is there as a what? He's there as a Comforter. Now, there's all kinds of things the Holy Spirit does in the life of a believer. But the single greatest thing that the Holy Spirit does is he comforts God's children. Now, there's all kinds of things that can give comfort. If you've ever had problems in your life, you have different problems at different times, and so different things have comforted you concerning the troubles that you've had or the problems you've been through. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit is the Comforter, and his primary responsibility is to comfort God's children. Now, what's the greatest comfort you ever received in your whole life? Assurance of salvation. To have salvation and to wonder about it and to doubt about it is no comfort. I mean, man, if you had to fret and worry every day of your life, I'm in, I'm out, I'm saved, I'm lost, I'm hot, I'm cold, I'm up, I'm down. Man, where in the world would you have any peace? Where would there be any comfort? That's the reason a lot of the charismatics end up going crazy. The insane asylums are full of them because they've run themselves batty wondering whether or not they're going to heaven. If they were as filled with the Holy Spirit as they claim to be, you know what they'd have? They would have the comfort of the Holy Spirit who calms and soothes and comforts and assures that you're going home to glory. The most comforting thought you ever had in your life is, I'm saved, amen. I'm sealed, I'm headed for the city, and ain't nothing nobody can do about it.
Amen.
What can be more comforting than that?
Amen.
You say, well, what if I mess up? I'm going anyway.
Amen.
The greatest comfort you ever had and the greatest comfort the Holy Spirit can give you is absolute assurance of eternal life. That you are going to the city. Now the Holy Spirit gives comfort in time of sickness. We just had a lady here in our church just several months ago. Had cancer in her lung, then got rid of that, and had it in her brain, got rid of that, got her liver, and she passed out of this world into the next. But all that time, I went to see her. I don't know how many times I went to see her. And visited with her. And you know what that lady had the whole time? She had absolute peace.
Amen.
She was dreading leaving her husband. There were things she wanted to do. Some things she was going to miss. But not one time in all the times I talked to her, just a few days before she died, I sat and talked to her, held her hand, and talked to her for a little while, and not one time was she worried about where she was going. Not one time did she question or doubt her salvation. She had absolute assurance where she was going when she left this world. She was as ready to go as anybody I ever dealt with. Now, that's a blessing.
Amen.
I mean, when you can have comfort and assurance dying, you got something real. Amen. And so the job of the Holy Spirit is, first of all, foremost, to comfort God's people. And he comforts us in all kind of things. Sometimes we get so hard on ourselves. You ever mess up since you've been a Christian? I've never had anybody be as rough on me for mistakes and blunders in my Christian life as I tend to be on myself. I can really get down on me big time. I think, Bob, if anybody ought to know better, you ought to know better. You've been saved 23 years. You've been through the Bible over 70 times. You've been preaching 20 years. You preach it and you teach it. How in the world could you be so stupid, so weak, so characterless, so graceless as to do that or to say that? I mean, I chew me up in little fine pieces that you have. And when I am my worst on me, God comforts. You pick that old Bible up, boy, and you feel like just you're right down on the bottom of the seafloor with the whales. You can't sink any lower. And you pick that Bible up and start reading over there in the book of Psalms or someplace, and the Holy Spirit will say, see, that's you. And though his feet slip, yea, he shall not utterly be cast down. God comforts. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's a blessing. When you're about ready to blow your brains out, you pick that old Bible up and read it, and God will give the Holy Spirit to take that thing and prick your heart with it and give you assurance and comfort, and you'll see the light at the end of the tunnel, and instead of being in the slough of despond and in absolute despair, you say, well, maybe God does still love me. Maybe God will give me another chance. Maybe I didn't cross over the deadline. God's going to kill me. Amen. It's a comfort. And that's the primary job of the Holy Spirit. But now, he does a lot of other things. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 18, he leads Christians. Now, he's not leading many because most aren't leadable. But that's not the Holy Spirit's problem. That's my problem. That's your problem. The Holy Spirit is willing, desirous to lead, but you have to be leadable. Now, you can't be led. Listen. You can't be led if you don't do two things. You can't be led if you don't read that Bible. And you can't be led if you're not willing to listen to preaching. You shut off the two access ports that God has got to install leadership, the right thoughts, ideas, the right motivation in your head. If you can't listen to a preacher and be admonished and instructed, and if you can't read the Bible and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart, God's got no way to lead you. So Christians that don't read, listen, you can't know God without knowing the Bible. Just that simple. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, he seals. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to seal you, put a stamp on you, a mark on you, that keeps you until the redemption of the purchased possession. That thing identifies you as God's property. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are the Lord's. That seal puts a limit on what the devil can do to you. That seal does. Now, I keep preaching all that stuff. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, the Holy Spirit gives gifts to every believer as he will. Now, see, the charismatics make another blunder here. They think that everybody ought to speak in tongues. But the Bible said that the Holy Spirit giveth gifts severally as he will. That is, he gives one gift to this person and another gift to that person and two or three gifts to this person and only one to the next one. See? And you didn't have any choice in it. It was done by the Holy Spirit, and it wasn't done to make you look good or to bolster you or to edify you. It was done for the good of the body of Christ. Amen? But the gifts come from the Holy Spirit. He's the one that enables, he's the one that empowers, and he's the one that distributes. And to think that every Christian has to have the same gift and the same ability is to be ignorant of the Bible. And for somebody to stand in the pulpit and say that you don't have the Holy Spirit unless you speak in tongues and require that everybody in his church have the same experience, the guy's got to be brain dead. I mean, from the neck up, it just ain't working. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, we have the fruit of the Spirit. And that's a misunderstood verse there. They say there's nine fruits of the Spirit. I beg to differ with you. If you turn over and read Galatians sometime, you'll find out that there's only one fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is. And then it lists nine things. It's like an orange. If I get an orange and peel it, I've got, let's just for sake of argument, there's nine slices in it. How many oranges do I have? One. but I have nine pieces to make the whole. And so there are nine attributes, nine things that you receive to some degree or another when you receive the Holy Spirit. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit is, in the life of every believer, there ought to be a little love. There ought to be a little joy. There ought to be a little long-suffering. See? You get some of all those things. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is, if you let the Holy Spirit have full reign in your life, all those attributes would be manifested. Amen? And so, the Holy Spirit just does all kind of things in the life of a believer. Now, if you're unsaved, He just reproves of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. But if you're saved by God's grace, then the Holy Spirit undertakes to lead you, to guide you, to seal you, to give you gifts, to bear fruit, to comfort you. All those things are things that the Holy Spirit does in the life of every single believer.